The year 2018 will soon be over. In one more day, it's going to be in the past. It's going to be history. You know what? We're all going to be saying, where did it go? Because I think I've heard people been saying that all week. Where did it go? But you know what? We say that every year, don't we? Where did it go? A lot has happened over the year, and we should be thankful and rejoicing for the year that our Lord has given to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without, you ready, brother? Ceasing. You got to get back up here and finish, brother. Give thanks to all in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. At 12 a.m. tomorrow night, we will go from 2018 into the new year of 2019. Some of you say, I'm glad this year's over. But that's the same thing that you said when 2017 was over, when 2016 was over, 2015 was over. Well, what did you expect to happen in the year ahead? Are you expecting the same old, same old? Well, let me tell you what, if that's what you are expecting in 2019, the same old, same old, then that is what you will have, more of the same. So what are your expectations for 2019? We all should be excited and expecting great things. Yes, expecting great things to happen in the year ahead. Not fearful and afraid of it. No. Looking forward to 2019. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go in 2019, folks. The song by Beth Midler. Together. Wherever we go, it goes, wherever we go, whatever we do, we're gonna go through it together. Wherever we are, it's always together. The Lord is with you. He said He will never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, He's with you. We are to look forward to the new year with excitement, joy, and lots of rejoicing. Lots of rejoicing. Our Savior's just been born. We just celebrated His birthday. Rejoice. We're not to worry and fear because God is with us wherever we go, whatever we do. We all should be thanking the Lord for this year. And we should be looking forward to what He has planned for 2019. And be saying, you know, I know, Lord, that You will give me the desires of my heart. You said what things soever I desire, when I pray, believe that I receive them and I will have them. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Comes along with one word there, key word there, believe. Believe. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And this is the voice, not the one on television. No, believe me, this is different. This is the Bible translation called the voice. Most of all, friends, always rejoice in the Lord. I never tire of saying it. Rejoice. Keep your gentle nature so that all people will know what it looks like to walk in His footsteps. The Lord is ever present with us. Don't be anxious about things. Instead, pray. Pray about everything. He longs to hear your requests. So talk to God about your needs and be thankful for what has come. And know that the peace of God, a peace that is beyond any and all of our human understanding, will stand watch over your hearts and minds in Jesus, the Anointed One. Finally, brothers and sisters, fill your minds with beauty and truth. Meditate on whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, whatever is virtuous and praiseworthy. Keep to the script. Whatever you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do it, and the God of peace will walk with you. I like that. Now, Paul is telling us that this is how you do it, folks. Be thankful for 2018. Be thankful right where you are. Rejoice in what God has given you. See, let your testimony be known through your relationship with God. Let it be one of gratitude and one that is worthy of rejoicing about right now. See, it's not when you accomplish lifelong goals or when you get that dream job. Mm-mm. Not when you get X amount of money in the bank. Sorry, Tim. Not when you've found Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright. Be thankful for right where you are at this very moment. Selah. What the apostle is saying here is stick to the script. Practice what you tell others. Practice what you preach. You see, the world looks at the Christian relationship with God and says, if being a Christian is so great and everything, then why aren't you thankful and thriving where you're at? Why aren't we? If we have Jesus in our lives, we have everything. He will supply all of our need. All of our need. You don't have to do anything to earn it either. Just accept Jesus into your heart. The problem is with too many people in the churches, we have Jesus in our lives, and we act like we don't. Verse 7 said, and know that the peace of God, a peace that is beyond any and all of our human understanding, will stand watch over your hearts and minds in Jesus, the Anointed One. We read what we have available to us. We see what we have available to us, and we hear what we have available to us. And then we let the devil steal what we have available to us as we forget about what God has given to us through the relationship we have with Him by Jesus Christ, His Son. The devil doesn't want you to have a celebration of faith. He doesn't want you to have any joy. He doesn't want you to have a happy heart. Happy, happy, happy heart. The only thing he wants your heart under is stress and worry. And that leads to panic attacks. Amen? I don't know if you've ever been there and you get that stress level flying, you get that worrying too high. You think you're having a heart attack. Why do you think the devil wants to keep you in that? Well, you don't believe me, though? Have you seen the news lately? I try to avoid it much more nowadays. The news and the devil's forecast isn't what is right, pure, good, holy, virtuous, and praiseworthy, is it? And they're going to put together, and you're going to get inundated in the next day with the year end. And they're going to give you every story there is, and they're going to give you all the negative stories. They're not going to give you the real positive ones that we need to hear about. They'll magnify all the negativity. And if we let that happen to us, then we become fretful. We start to worrying, oh, woe is me. You start looking at the Dow Jones, you look at the NASDAQ, the S&P. That's not where you should be looking. You should be looking to God. You're not part of this economy. Yeah, you live and function within it, but you're not part of it. Your economy is based through the kingdom, through God's kingdom. That's where it's based. That's the economics that we want to look to, into Him, into His kingdom, because they're greater and there are greater rewards with Him. We are all inundated with the accuser's schemes, with strife and stress that he inflicts on the world. He tries to fill our lives, as I said, with worry. The English word for worry comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word which means to strangle. That's a pretty good description, I think, of what it does to a person. What it does, it strangles our peace of mind. Our peace of mind. But we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And do not fret or have any anxieties about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. There it is. Trust in the Lord. And don't be fretful. Don't have any anxieties about anything. Wherever you go, whatever you do. Together, me and you, Jesus. You're going in to a doctor's office. Me and you, Jesus. I'm going to be listening to what you have to say. Our strength, it comes from God, our guardian. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. Message Bible. Then he just went with that quickly. Joe, you guys quick on them fingers. This is the Message Bible. Verse 1. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains. Verse 3. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep. Not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian, right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from a moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. God is our guardian. How many of you have read Marvel comic books while you grew up? Just me? Come on. How many of you have seen any of the movies about the Marvel superheroes? Yeah. Quite a few. There's a group of superheroes, and they're called the Guardians of the Galaxy. Know who I'm talking about? That group? Well, my daughter, she got me this cool t-shirt. And when you first look at it, wow. Yeah. As soon as you see that, you think, right? You think, okay, Marvels, Guardians of the Galaxy. No, that's not what it says. It says, Marvelous, yeah. Almighty God, guarding the galaxy. Yeah. Let the Almighty Ruler of the universe guard you from evil. Psalm 91. Wow. That not awesome?
That's awesome.
I mean, that's the first thing. When you look at it, but do you have to stop? Played a game last night with Joe and Crystal and the kids, and there was a mind teaser question, and actually they give it to you, and it was a thing you had to read, and it wasn't one word on there spelled properly, but yet we were able to read the whole thing. Even Jack was able to read through it. I couldn't even look at some of them words. I said, what is that? But you knew each word. So it's a mind thing, and what that does, it makes you stop and think. He is guarding the galaxy.
Yes, amen.
Now, Leanne didn't stop there. No, she didn't stop there. And that's why I got to show this other t-shirt. And this one's pretty cool, too. You look at it, right? Look at all them superheroes. You got Batman. Oh, there's Iron Man. There's Captain America. There's the Hulk. There's Spider-Man, Superman. But there's Jesus right in the middle. He's right in the middle. The guy in the white. Okay? And you look at it, and what he says, he's speaking, he says, and that's how I saved the world. Jesus is our superhero. We did a vacation Bible school a few years back. Jesus is my superhero. All these other characters, fictitious, they're not real. Our Jesus is real. And for Eloquipa Christian Assembly, Jesus is our superhero. Amen? Yep. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. That was our scripture we stood on for that VBS. But Jesus is our superhero. And God is the guardian. He is guarding the universe. As we look into the new year of 2019, we should be excited and looking forward to it with great expectations. And what he has planned for us, not with fear and uncertainty of the unknown plan, because we know that there's unknown plans for the future. Well, his plans for us, well, they're for peace, they're for prosperity, not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. Never forget that. As believers, we are to look forward to every day. For every day we wake to is a day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. But we can also be glad in it and rejoice. They're interchangeable. What's the three words that almost every conversation you hear someone have that they're in a relationship with? I love you. Am I right? I love you. Well, the first thing we do in the morning and all through the day, and the last thing we should do at night, is be willing to tell the Lord God, I love you. Tell him you love him. And be thankful. Thankful for our relationship that we have with him. Surely, years ago, gave me this little plastic, I guess, I don't know what you call it, picture holder. And she types something up for me and put it in there. And it sits on my nightstand and has never left my nightstand. And the first thing when I do, and I'm sitting in bed and wake up and open my eyes up, is I see that. And it says, "Good morning, Jack. I love you. Have a great day, Jesus." Surely, I look at that every day. I look at it when I wake up. In the middle of the night when I'm laying on my side and I get some turbulence, I look at that. And I know that He loves me. At night before I go to bed, I look at it. I know that He loves me. Am I perfect? No. But He loves me. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice always. Some ask, why? You know how I respond? Why not? Why not? Who's going to help you in your situation? Is the devil going to help you with the situation you're in? No. He made sure you got there. Is the world going to help with your situation? Does the world even care about your situation? No. The answer is no. When a person is unwilling to rejoice in what God can do for them, it makes me question their ability to reason. That's the power of the mind to think I'm talking about there. Porch light's on, but nobody's home. You know? What are you thinking? Have you heard about or read about or experienced what God is capable of lately? Here's a testimony I want to give to you. A testimony about our miracle working God. My neighbor lives across the street from me. A few months ago, Teresa and I getting out of the car, and she gets out of her car at the same, and she's crying. We go over and say, "What's wrong, Val?" And she proceeded to tell us how that she was at the doctor's office, and we had prayed before, and she was having issues with her sugar. She was over 800 in her sugars. We prayed with her, and then I told her, it's all in what you eat, too. But I says, you got to, so told her how and what she should be eating, said, okay, but let's pray. She says, yeah. And she goes, so we prayed. Now she's got her sugar under control. Yeah. Now she goes into the doctor's, and the doctor says, "Well, you got issues with your kidneys." And she's, what? And he's talking to her about possibly going on dialysis. And she's telling us that, and she's crying. And Teresa and I, we talked with her. We prayed with her. And we prayed right there on that street. Pretty loud, because Teresa says, "I'm sorry when I get excited and I know that God's working, it's coming out." We prayed with her and encouraged her to stay on track with everything she's doing with her dieting and everything like that and walking. And it was a couple months ago. Well, the other day, we came home, and here's her and her husband are walking up the street. And I made a comment. I said, "Hey," I says, "where's Daisy?" They're a little puppy dog. "Yeah, Daisy can't walk as far as we can." I'm looking at her. She's all smiling. She says, "I got some news for you." I said, "Okay." And she says, "I went and seen the doctor." I says, "Yeah?" For her checkup again. And the doctor told her, he says, "Val," he says, "I don't know what you've been doing." He says, "But your numbers went 3 points into the yellow," which is outstanding. And she looked at him, she said, "What?" He says, "Valerie," he says, "you were coming into this office today," he says, "and I was sure that I was going to tell you, you're going to be going on dialysis 2 days a week." And she just looked and she started to cry because she was so excited. And he says, but I'm going to tell you something, though. He said, whatever you're doing, keep it up. He says, because I can't explain it in his words, because she said it. Val, you received a miracle. Is our God not awesome? But what we also did to her was we encouraged. I says, you continually say, you know what? I do not have diabetes in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that. I will not take that thought. I said, now you say that all the time. Every time you get the thought that it's planted in your head that the devil is going to speak to you, you say, no, I do not have diabetes. I am healed. And there she is. That's a testimony unto our God. He's still in a miracle. A doctor said, you received a miracle. He has no explanation why she's in as good a shape she is. But it's our God. He is our superhero. What more of a superhero than him? Right, Nick? Jehovah Rapha. So I say, rejoice always. Rejoice always. And again, rejoice. The word doesn't say rejoice in everything that happens around you. It says to rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice and be thankful because as believers, we have constant access to God the Father. He's the only constant thing in the entire universe. The guardian of the galaxies. Not just the one we're in. There's several other galaxies. And it's called a universe. And he created it. You don't think he knows how to take care of it? The great God Jehovah is more than worthy of our praise. Not part of it, but all of our praise. That's where people miss it. Deserves all of our praise. You know, and Paul wrote that while he was in prison. And he was writing it telling the church. That the church is us to rejoice. Paul teaches us a very important lesson. Yes, he does. It's about our inner attitudes. They don't have to reflect our outer circumstances. Paul was full of joy and rejoicing because he knew wherever he went, whatever he did, Jesus was together with him. No matter what happened, Jesus was with him. Then how come we, who are free to experience all that God has to offer, all that he has given to us, at times, we feel like we have so little to be thankful for. And we're the ones who feel like we're in prison. Paul's in prison. And he's rejoicing. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. The circumstances you're in. Rejoice in the Lord always. Because he's going through it with you. He's there. Are you experiencing all that God has to offer you? Think about that. All the benefits? All the benefits that he daily loads you with. And that he has freely given. Yeah, he's freely given them to you to partake of. So why do we complain and feel like we have so little in our lives to rejoice about? If we're taking advantage of our advantage through our relationship with Jesus, right? Well, we need to. We need to take advantage of everything we have been given. It's free. It's free. God has prepared an abundant life for us, especially if you're his kid. You are a kid's king, right? You are a child of the Most High God. You got to understand that. As parents, you want the best for your kids. You are a king's kid. He wants the best for you. He has the best laid up for you. It's there. Are you taking advantage of it? Because you have the advantage once you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But what's the key to it? Believing. Believing. Believing that you received and you shall have it. When we have complete and undeniable access to everything through our relationship with Jesus that we could ever hope, want, or ask for, it gives us joy. We are to be joyful people. We are to be joyful people. Well, you don't know what I'm going through in my life. No, but God does, and God is bigger than any problem that you have. Unless you choose to make the problem bigger than God and His healing capabilities. He heals spiritually. He heals emotionally. He heals financially. And He heals physically. By His stripes, you are healed. You are healed. Quit limiting His capabilities. And you do that by the words of your mouth. Don't speak those thoughts that you get into your head. Oh, I've been diagnosed. I'm not going to make it through. No. First words that should come out of your mouth is, nothing to worry about. My God is going to take me through this. That's why He is called Jehovah Rapha. So what are you supposed to have? Joy, right? Now help me with this. I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Where? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Amen? And that's just it, though. How many people have the joy, but it's head knowledge and not heart knowledge? And somehow they've forgotten and can't remember where to find it. Well, guess what? Let's get back on track and let's find where the true joy comes from. You're never going to find lasting joy in the world or the things of this world. Joy can only be found in the Lord. Joy isn't like happiness, which is based upon happenings or whether things are going good or not. No, joy remains even in the midst of suffering. Joy is not happiness. Joy is an emotion that's acquired by the anticipation, acquisition, experience, and expectation of something great or wonderful. It could be described as exhilaration, delight, sheer gladness, and can result from a great success or a very beautiful or wonderful experience like a wedding or a graduation. But the definition of joy that the world holds is not nearly as amazing as biblical joy. But joy is also a gift. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I had a conversation with somebody the other day, And when they were new in their walk years and years ago, they had to put forth self-control, especially when somebody swings a golf club at you. You just catch it, you don't lose your cool, and you just say, I think you better go home. That is self-control, folks. And that only comes when the Holy Spirit's within you. Am I right, brother? So joy is one of those fruits or the results of having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You can't fake joy. You either have it or you don't. Jesus went to and suffered a brutal, brutal death on the cross so that we could have joy. Our opening scriptures are much more than just an encouragement. It is an emphasis for life. As a believer, if you go through a day without rejoicing in the Lord, then you're being robbed. You're being robbed of really living. John 10:10. Jesus says, the thief does not come except to steal. Well, steal means robbed. He's a robber. He comes to rob you. But it also goes on to say, and to kill, and to destroy you. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and that you may have life more abundantly. So how many more days are you going to let the devil rob you from really living? Start rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. And quit basing what is happening to you. And you're saying, well, right now I don't feel like that. Quit living your life by your feelings. Come on, live life by faith. You live by faith, you walk by faith. Not by your feelings. Rejoice in the Lord always. And also quit being so negative, especially in your thinking, and then speaking. What are you doing speaking it? Bad enough you're thinking it. We know when you speak it how powerful words are. And when you speak negatively, guess what? You're going to reap what you speak, folks. Because if that is how you live your life, your moments of rejoicing will be few, far, and probably never. You wonder why every year is the same old, same old? You want things better in the new year? Choose to rejoice. The choice is yours. And be positive. Be positive. Let your words speak what you believe. And you believe the word to be true? Speak and confess the word. You will become more and more positive as you speak his word. Because negativity in your life, it's going to invite in two others called doubt and unbelief into your home. And together, they're going to close the drapes and keep the sun from getting in. See, you won't be able to see clearly. You won't be able to focus on the Lord and his abilities. And we know that his abilities are not limited. None. For with God, all things are possible when you believe. Our focus needs to be on God's capabilities, not ours. Remember Jimmy Johnson, coach? Jimmy Johnson? I had to get him from NASCAR right away because I know he went there. No. Coach Jimmy Johnson, Dallas Cowboys. He was asked what he told his players before leading the Dallas Cowboys onto the field in the 1993 Super Bowl. And he said, I told them that if I laid a 2x4 across the floor, everybody there would walk across it and not fall, because our focus would be on walking the length of the board. But if I put that same board 10 stories high between two buildings, only a few would make it, because the focus would be on falling. Johnson told his players not to focus on the crowd, the media, or the possibilities of falling, but to focus on each play of the game as if it were a good practice session. The Cowboys won the game 52-17. And that year, they defeated, I know it's a good old home team, but they defeated the Buffalo Bills, brother. And it was the Buffalo Bills' third consecutive Super Bowl loss. I don't know if you remember that, brother. Victory over every situation in life is possible when we are willing to focus on God's Word and what God's Word says over and over, and all of its possibilities, because see, nothing is impossible, especially when you're speaking God's Word and you're backing it up by how you believe,
right.
And you believe the Word to be true.
Amen.
For I know the plans that I have for you in 2019, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. God clearly has a plan for each and every one of us. The question is, do we want God's plan to become our plan? We all have a choice about what we are going to let consume our thoughts and direct our lives for the upcoming year. Having a positive attitude and speaking positively, especially speaking His Word, will create an atmosphere in which you will thrive, not just survive, but thrive. No more of the same old for 2019. It's like the little train that could, when challenged by the long climb up over the mountain, when he faced the climb, he thought, I think I can do this. So he started his climb knowing the plan. As he chugged along, he said, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And as he climbed, it became harder and harder. As he chugged along, he became more positive by saying, I believe I can. I believe I can. I believe I can. I believe I can. Until he made it over the top. There's not a mountain you can't overcome. In 2019, you can climb over the mountains. If you can believe, you will receive. God has no limits whatsoever. So don't set limits on what you can believe God for, especially going into this new year. Change it. You don't want the same old, same old. You want some of the new. Start January 1st, 2019, with a positive attitude and speaking positively. You don't even have to wait. You can start right now. You can start today. Yeah, and December 30th, right? And it's right now. It's I got 11, 56, 17. I got 70. You got 17, Den? Oh, okay. Then I'm in. My watch is working good, Den. Because that's how, if you want to check your time, just check with brother. Check with my brother. So it's your choice. Choose to let loose and rejoice. For it is your choice.
Amen.
Thank you.